Welcome to the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. In recent games, the Jazz have figured out just how valuable Rudy Gobert is to them. There's speculation of a possible Joe Ingles trade or a trade of some sort for the Jazz to add defense on the perimeter. So we'll get into that. And then we'll talk about their upcoming game against the Denver Nuggets. So first off, the Jazz were the last team to be hit by the latest COVID spike. And they got hit pretty hard once it happened. In this last game against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who, as we've talked about on a former episode, play 3 7-footers in their starting lineup. Well, the Jazz's 3 centers were out with in COVID protocols. Their backup power forward was out. And even their two-way guy fractured his wrist and couldn't play for them. So the Jazz were playing Royce O'Neal and Eric Paschal as their centers. That's all they had. But before that, they had Hassan Whiteside for all these games. The Jazz have gone 1-4 since Rudy Gobert went out. They were able to sneak one by the Nuggets. And their defense has been awful. Just horrible with Rudy Gobert out of the game. After this 5-game series, if people still think that Donovan Mitchell is the best player on the Jazz and that it's not Rudy Gobert, they're lying to themselves. This team, if you had Hassan Whiteside and then some other replacement center instead of Rudy Gobert, and everything else was the same, this is like a 30-win team. But you add Rudy Gobert to it, they're pushing for 60 wins. He is so important to everything they do on the defensive end and then on the offensive end as well. The way he sets screens, the way he can draw defenders to the middle to create open shots for the three-pointer is absolutely invaluable. You know, when a lot of teams, they game plan against Rudy Gobert when for him on the defensive end. They try to limit his impact there. They also, if you watch close enough, they try to limit as much as they can his impact on the offense. When he runs pick and roll, that big drops immediately back to the basket. He is not going to let Rudy get an alley-oop. They usually will also bring in an extra defender from the wing to come and try and help out. And that's the big reason that the Jazz are so great at three-pointer. They get wide open looks because teams are so worried about what Rudy is going to do in the middle. Even with that, Rudy Gobert is shooting over 70% from the field this year. I think if the Jazz really wanted to, Rudy Gobert could easily average like 23 points a game. I don't think it would be that hard for him. He'd just need a couple more opportunities. But instead, he's still dominant, averaging 15 points, 15 boards, a couple blocks a game, and it's just so integral to everything that the Jazz do. Now, luckily, he is out of health and safety protocols, and he's going to be most likely available for their game coming up here against the Denver Nuggets. But I'm really hoping that the rest of this Jazz team saw just how much they need Rudy and how important he is to them. And just realize that they need to up their own games, especially on the defensive end. They need to have better communication, better focus on the defensive end if they really want to win a championship. Because right now, they're a good team, but they're definitely not a championship-level team as far as the chemistry and how they're playing. And, you know, they're kind of all in right now to try and win a championship. They're not completely all the way in, and that's what I want to get into with this next part of talking about trades. You know, if the Jazz really want to win a championship, they have options. You can trade Mike Conley. You can trade Joe Ingles. You can trade Jordan Clarkson, Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal. Anybody that isn't Rudy Gobert or Mike Conley, or Donovan Mitchell, I mean. Now, I don't see a huge trade like that happening, at least not right now at the trade deadline. Maybe something this next summer. But if it's this next summer, that means that they didn't get the job done this year. But that being said, the most likely person to be traded by the Jazz this year is Joe Ingles. And the biggest reason for that is he's getting older. He's losing a step. Jordan Clarkson handles the majority of the scoring off the bench. Him and Rudy Gay. And even though I love Joe Ingles, I would love to see him complete his career with the Jazz, get his jersey retired. He's been just absolutely amazing since the Jazz picked him up. It does make the most sense to use him in a trade. He's on an expiring contract. So if the Jazz want him back next year, they're going to have to re-sign him. And he'll be a free agent. So his money slot, if he just doesn't re-sign with the Jazz and he leaves, the Jazz have no way of replacing him. So it makes sense to send him out for somebody that has at least one more year on their contracts. And they're going to be looking for size and a defensive upgrade and not too much of a downfall on the offensive end, because Joe's one of the best shooters in the league. You're going to, no matter who you're getting, you're going to have a little bit of a drop off as far as three-point shooting goes. Now, a guy that really has made sense to me has been Larry Nance Jr. out of the Portland Trailblazers. You know, he's about 6'8", 245 pounds. He can play all three positions of the front court, small forward, power forward, and center. His more natural position is power forward, but he plays quite a bit of backup center for the Trailblazers right now. Now, the Trailblazers, they've been awful this year. They kind of felt like they had a chance to be contenders this year. Damian Lillard got off to a slow start, and then now, you know, he's missed a couple little stints here and there with this abdominal injury. Well, he just barely had surgery on it. He's going to be at least 5 to 6 weeks he's going to be out. That's when he's going to be reevaluated. They may reevaluate him in 5 to 6 weeks and decide it's going to be another 5 weeks or whatever, and all of a sudden we're to the end of the season without the Blazers having their best player. And really, that roster is just not built right now for any further success than what they've had. I mean, they really need to, in my opinion, they really need to tear this roster down and basically start from scratch, still around Damian Lillard. But I would just hold Damian out for the rest of the year. Trade off anything that you possibly can. Get as many picks, as many young players as you can. And open up money for free agency in the summer and completely rebuild this team around Damian Lillard, because the way it's constructed now, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything special at all. So Larry Nance Jr., I think the Jazz, you might be able to go Joe Ingles for Larry Nance straight up, but the Jazz do have their 2026 first-round pick that they can send out. I think it may take that to get Larry, but I would at least see if they'll just do the straight-up trade. Also on the Trailblazers, a guy that could make sense is Robert Covington. However, the difference with Robert Covington is that he's on an expiring contract as well. Larry Nance has one more year under contract next season, so you wouldn't be solving that problem, but you'd be making your defense a lot better with Robert Covington. Another guy that would really make sense to me is Maxi Kleba with the Dallas Mavericks. He's about 6'10", 240, plays the power forward and backup center. But when the Mavericks play the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard is healthy, Maxi Kleba is the guy they put on him. He's big, he's strong, he can move his feet very well. He's a very good defender for, especially for his size. And so he would be an excellent option, I think, as well. And then the last guy that I think could make a lot of sense, I mean, there's other possibilities that they can go to, but I'm just looking at guys that can bring that defensive impact without losing much on the offensive end. But the next guy, or last guy, is Marcus Morris Sr. He plays for the Clippers, about 6'9", 235. Primary position is power forward. He's played a lot of small forward in his career. In the last couple years for the Clippers, he's played a little bit of center as well. He can space the floor. He can hit threes. Definitely not at the same rate that Joe Ingles can, but he's a decent shooter. But he's a very good defender. He's very physical. He's a fighter. He's a guy that I also wouldn't mind having on the Jazz. Now, he does make a little bit more than Joe Ingles. And so, you know, you're going to have to eat a little extra cost unless you maybe add another piece into the trade. Maybe you also send out, like, Elijah Hughes or Yudoka Azubuike. If they hadn't traded away Mie Oni, they could have added him. But, of course, they traded him away, so that's not a possibility anymore. But those are the guys that I'm really looking at. Now, I would love to see, again, Joe Ingles stay with the Jazz forever. And so I have a few other trade ideas to improve the defense on the perimeter while still getting to keep Joe around. The very first one I have, and I think this would be an amazing fit, is Jayshon Tate. He plays for the Houston Rockets. He's about 6'5", 230. He is, seriously, Royce O'Neal 2.0. He and Royce are basically the exact same players. They're super high-energy guys. They're great defenders. They like to use their strength on the defensive end. They have long enough bodies that they can cover basically anybody on the perimeter. He's an aggressive rebounder. He's a little bit better versus, well, I don't know if I'd say better scorer. He's a more aggressive scorer than Royce O'Neal is. But I think it would be great to go pick him up. And now you have basically 48 minutes of Royce O'Neal, to where whoever starts out of the two of them, the other one can come in and you don't really lose anything at all. Depending on, doesn't matter if it's Royce coming in for Jayshon or if it's Jayshon coming in for Royce. The idea I have as far as getting Jayshon would be, I would like to hold on to as many picks as possible if I'm the Jazz, so you can use them later on as either future assets or, you know, just take those picks later on. I mean, it's always good to be bringing in more new blood. So I would call up the Rockets and see if a trade of Jared Butler and Elijah Hughes is enough for them. You know, Jared Butler, the Jazz just drafted him this year. He's a young point guard, still needs a lot of time of development, but it's looking like he can be a solid piece in the future. And then Elijah Hughes, he's in a contract year, but, you know, solid wing. Just really hasn't gotten the opportunity with the Jazz because of how good they are. But the Rockets need more small forwards, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to try him out. Now, if you need to add a couple seconds to get this done, I'd be willing to do that. If you have to add the 2026 first, I don't know. The one other guy that really makes sense in a very, very similar trade would be Kenrich Williams from the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's making $2 million this year and $2 million next year. So very low salaried guy. And the trade would be the exact same idea. Jared Butler and Elijah Hughes. Now, I think Jayshon Tate is a better player than Kenrich Williams. And so I think just those players, no picks, should be enough for the Thunder. Those were my ideas to add a good perimeter defender that is still going to give you some stuff on the offensive end. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking there. One last thing before we start looking into the Nuggets here. So Malik Fitz, who I brought up earlier, he was on a two-way contract with the Jazz. He fractured his wrist, so he's going to be in a cast for the next 4 or 6 weeks. So the Jazz have decided to waive him, release him from his contract. There's no news yet on who they're going to pick up to replace him on that two-way. But I personally would be looking at some big guys, at least either big power forwards or centers. Two guys that immediately make a lot of sense to me. One is Jae Huff. The Lakers just barely released him from a two-way. And that's mostly because the Lakers are going to more of a small ball lineup. Jae Huff is about 7'1", 250-ish pounds or so. He can shoot the three. He can stretch the floor out. He's a good rim protector. Now, he is a little slow side to side. Actually, quite a bit slow side to side. So you don't really want him on the perimeter. But at the rim, he does an amazing job. He has great instincts down there for shot blocking. But again, this is just a two-way spot. So this is a guy, you know, break glass in case of emergency type guy that I think could be a decent fit for the Jazz. And just give them some more depth at the center, especially after dealing with what they did in the last game with Gobert, Whiteside, and Azubuki not being able to play. It'd be nice to have one more guy around with some size that can hop in there. And then the other one, and when we talk about guys with size, this guy's got plenty of it, is Taco Fall. The Cavaliers added a guard on a two-way, and so they released Taco Fall. Fall is 7'6", 7'6", 311 pounds. He is a massive, massive human being. He's already 25. He's pretty slow-footed. He's never going to be a starter in this league. But as a fourth center, you know, an emergency option guy for the Jazz, I think it'd be worth, you know, taking a look at him. So let's get into the Denver Nuggets. The Jazz are playing them on Sunday. The Jazz played a lot of games in that short little time that Rudy Gobert was out. So it's nice that they're actually getting a little bit of a break. They played on Wednesday night, and now they're not playing again until Sunday. Of course, there's the Rudy Gobert against Nikola Jokic matchup. It's always very exciting to watch because Jokic was the MVP last year. Very highly skilled big man. Not a great defender. He's getting better. And then, of course, Rudy Gobert is the best defensive player in the world. And on the offensive end, he comes at Jokic and can do some crazy things. Of course, the Nuggets are still without Jamal Murray. He's still recovering from his torn ACL from last year. I think the Jazz will have a lot of excitement around them with Rudy coming back, with Rudy Gay coming back as well, and getting this team back on a winning note. But it's going to be a very tough game. I think this game probably comes down to a couple possessions, and I would think that the Jazz are favored, but the Nuggets are a very good team. Their bench is really where they struggle, and so if Jordan Clarkson and Rudy Gay and Joe Ingles can really get things going, I think the Jazz should be able to pull this one off. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and end this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day, and go Jazz!